Well, the launching of a spaceship is pretty exciting. They're on the launching pad and off they go. And they get up there into orbit and they circle and they circle. And then comes a very dangerous time. They have to descend back to Earth through the atmosphere. Several months ago, Pastor Arden blasted off for a sabbatical. That's so wonderful. And now, you know, he's kind of in that circling, coming ready for the descent back in. Okay? So I think next week we'll be welcoming him back, right? He'll be back next Sunday. Is that right? Yeah. So pray for that re-entry time for Pastor. That's going to be a wonderful time. And what he has seen in the orbiting, we don't know, but looking forward to having him come back. So I keep praying for that as he and his dear wife return. Well, we began three months ago, and with this passage from Proverbs 4. Watch over your heart above everything else, for it determines the course of your life. And this little series on spiritual formation or transformation, realize it's all about the heart. And we looked at different little parts along the way, and today we're kind of coming to kind of try to bring it together, and some of you have been almost every Sunday, and some have been on vacations and in and out, so hopefully it's going to bring it all together. But there's a passage of scripture that maybe is a great, great summary. It's in Matthew chapter 22. In this context here, the antagonists of Jesus, and he had a good number of them, were trying to kind of put him in a corner, and so they came and asked this question, which may seem kind of innocent, which is the great commandment? Oh, that's just a point of information, perhaps, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these guys, they were constantly fighting and bickering about what was the great commandment. And no matter what you said, it was wrong. Somebody was not going to like your answer. So it was really an attempt to kind of put Jesus into a corner. But Jesus does not corner well, right? And so he said, here's the answer. Here it is. What's the great commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is a great and first commandment. This is the second, is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. If you stop to think about that, that is one of the most brilliant statements anyone can make. I mean, a good teacher has the ability to summarize well and to bring things together. And so if you take Genesis to Malachi, that's the law and the prophets. And Jesus said, you know, it's really pretty simple. The commandment is love God with all your heart and love your neighbor. And that essentially is a summation of the law and the prophets. It is a most brilliant answer. We recognize that Jesus was the smartest man that ever lived. And this is one of the smartest answers you could give. So it's kind of a summary statement about spiritual formation. And so as we begin to review a little bit, I want to look at just some of the things we've talked about in the past, and we'll see how they kind of fit together. So we recognize that in the functions of the heart, there's three functions. The heart has a spiritual heart has a thinking function, it has a decision-making function, and it has an emotion or feeling function. That's what the spiritual heart, as described in the scriptures, the Bible talks about. And so we want to just review quickly each of these three functions and just a couple of verses that kind of, you know, highlight that part there. Thinking function, Paul wrote in Romans 12, and do not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That involves thinking. And you think about, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And part of loving God is working into being a functional part of his kingdom. And that requires some thinking about what does he say is important? What's the values that are here? So you may prove what the will of God is. And we love God. We desire to do his will. How do we accomplish his will? One way is by having the mind renewed and by thinking correctly. Later on in Philippians chapter 4, Paul said this. Finally, brethren, in conclusion, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And as we noted several weeks ago, in one word, how one could summarize all these statements here. But Jesus, right? Because he is true. He is honorable. He is just. He is pure. He is lovely. He's commendable. He's all these things. And so really, it's thinking about God. And part of knowing God and loving God, they fit together. Next week, we'll, Lord willing, we'll be in 1 John 4. And he talks about that. If you know God, you love God. The more you know him, the more you love him. And so part of our formation is learning and thinking about God. A.W. Tozer writes, "The most important thing about a person is what they think when they think God." What do you think when you think God? And realize this is very hard, right? I mean, we're got a little small mind, you know, and here's the infinite God, and we're trying to get some kind of a handle on this God. We can't really get our arms around him, can we? It challenges us to think about God. Think about his eternality. Many years ago, I saw this old Moody Science film, and I made the comment that with God, everything is in the now. He is the great I am. There's no past, there's no present. Everything is present. I mean, time is something we have as humans. But God's outside of time and space. God is timeless. Like, everything we know is aging. God doesn't age. God does not change. Like, let's just be honest. But as we try to think about it, it expands our mind. And the more we think about that, the more we'll come to know him and to love him. And so one of the function of the heart is to think and to think about things that are right. We have a choice of things we think about. And so we need to think in our lives. What occupies my mind? As we noted a couple weeks ago that, you know, there's work things we have to do. You have to think what you're doing when you're doing these things. But in your discretionary time, what do you think about? And to nurture thinking. Fascinating about grandparents and grandkids. You don't have to say much to us to get us to talk about the grandkids, right? Or like couples that are just getting married. It's pretty easy to talk about their fiance, right? It's on their mind. If you give them an opportunity, they'll talk about their bride or their groom. Or their grandchildren, whatever it may be, because they're thinking about it. Well, God would have us to be thinking about him in a similar fashion. So we had that function of the heart, a thinking function. And we talked about the heart is a decision making. Oh, by the way, notice this. You see, these are all integrated. Thinking influences decision making. Duh. Obvious, right? When you make a decision, you get information. Any area of life, you have to decide financial or medical or anything, car choices, whatever, you think about things and that influence the decision that you make. And so thinking has an influence on decision making. Thinking also has a huge impact on emotions and feelings. Because the things we think about will shape how we feel. It will give different meaning and significance to the ways that we are feeling. They are integrated together. We can never separate them from one another. In spiritual formation, we're concerned about the thinking function, decision-making function, and the emotional function. Decision-making function. Now, again, God talks about this in the scriptures as a function of the heart. So in Luke 21, it's looking towards the future, towards some hard times are coming, and Jesus said, so make up your, most translations have, make up your minds, but the word that's used here in the Greek is cardia, the word for heart. Make up your heart. What are you going to do? Decide right now. So he's looking towards the future and attributing to the heart the ability to make a decision of what they're going to do in the coming days. In Romans chapter 10, it says this, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart. Now, believing involves a decision, right? When we hear information, we had a speaker years ago, and he said, I want to tell you something. He said that under this pulpit, there's a bomb that's going to go off in about 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3. Nobody moved. Nobody decided to leave. Why? Because we didn't believe him. But if we had believed him, we would have made a decision. Exit stage right. Exactly right? You see, with believing involves deciding. You believe that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes. That's the decision-making function of the heart. And God has given us the ability to think. He has given us the opportunity to make decisions, to decide. Just think back of old Joshua towards the end. He said, you know, what are you going to do? You decide who you're going to follow. For me and my house, we have decided to follow God. It's a decision that's made. And again, we see this connection here, is that in the spiritual heart, is that thinking influences decisions. Decisions influence thinking. You decided you're going to think about, right? But also, decision-making influences feelings and emotions and vice versa. They work together. It's interactive. Now, in the back of your little green sheet today, there's questions back there for you at the end. And the questions are, what functions of your spiritual heart seem most healthy to you? And as we go through this, you're thinking, you know, I think pretty good. But in other areas, you'll find I need to work on. What function of your spiritual heart seems most to need attention? And what adjustments or changes could you initiate? So as we're working through these connections here, be thinking, trusting the Spirit of God to show you, okay, I need to work on this. Okay. Then we had emotions. We talked about these. And we began by recognizing that God has emotions. In some Christian context, it almost comes across like God is emotionless, that God has emotions. Just three mentioned here. Genesis 6, this is God who's grieved in his heart. Grief is an emotion. Zephaniah 2, verse 17, talks about he sings and rejoices over his repentant children. Wow. Singing, rejoicing. He has compassion, Psalm 86, verse 15. That as God has emotions, he has been pleased to give us emotions. And here's just three of them that we talked about. We experience sorrow. Paul writes in Romans 9, 2, that he had great sadness because his fellow Jews were not coming to faith in Christ. And he had sorrow. In 1 Corinthians 16:10, it talks about people of God rejoicing and being glad, happiness, and joy. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 7-8, Paul said, I came to you like a nursing mother caring for his children. That's compassion. That's tenderness. And God would grow our capacity to feel. It is a sad and tragic thing that some people have been so traumatized in life that they have basically shut down those feelings. Some have been taught almost inappropriate to feel, or just have a numbness, an area to grow in. God has given us emotions. Emotions are a gift from God, the ability to feel. How precious is that? How precious it is to feel for one another. These emotions reflect the heart. One of the key things we look for in formation is, okay, what emotions am I feeling? And to recognize that what I'm emoting, those feelings are a reflection of what is in the heart. You know, you think about what do we get excited about? What just really lights our fires, you know? Well, we have to think about that. Is that really, or what really angers me? That's an emotion. Anger is an emotion. What is it that really angers me? I remember one time traveling with a man, and I know Interstate 30, 20, 35 between Sioux Falls and where I was at university, and he was telling me about a young lady who went to a church service, went there repeatedly, and after the service, she'd go home and cry and talked to her fish because no one at church would talk to her. And he was livid with anger. It was a righteous anger. That to him was like, no way, that should never happen. And I was like, wow. That was an anger that was based on a sin that was going on. Other times we're angry because someone steps on our toes a little bit. You know? So we look at those emotions and they reflect something about the heart. And that's how we use it in formation. Emotions can be used or abused. Every gift that God gives to us can be used or abused. And again, as we think, as we make decisions, it will impact those emotions. So look at like this again. Thinking, heart, decision, they interact. Decisions and emotions interact. How we are feeling will determine how we make decisions. And, of course, thinking, feelings interact together. All these intertwine together. As we think about spiritual formation, we're trying to think through these different functions and where do I need some nurturing? But then there's more, okay? The spiritual heart, the functions are impressed and expressed through social relationships. God created us to be part of community. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 4, where Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, it was a really pretty good church. He said, you know, you've been told to love one another, and I know you do that. But I encourage you to excel still more in the loving of one another. That's a social relationship. And that's a part of our spiritual formation is giving and receiving love from other people in the body of Christ. And then we noted that God has given us a physical body. And the body is God's wonderful creation. It's just amazing what he's made. And it says in 1 Corinthians 6 is that the body, this physical body, can be used to glorify God. It can be used to deny him. It can be used to blaspheme him. But the potential of the physical body to be a tool that God can use for his glory is very strong. Now, here's the connections. Interaction here, thinking, decision-making, emotions, thinking and emotions all tie together, and then these over here. All interact together. Now we think about, am I the forming of my heart? Now recognize that things happen to us. Let's take the physical body. Someone is healthy. Their body's functioning well, which probably helps them to think better. But think what happens when someone has a debilitating disease, and they suffer chronic pain. What does that do to the rest of the being? I mean, if you have chronic pain, migraine headaches, just back spasms, it hinders our thinking. It hinders our decision making. It has a huge impact on our emotions. And at times like that, there's some things that we need. We need one another more during those seasons than in seasons of health. That's why we come alongside of one another. So when there's a physical issue taking place, it's in fact the rest of the spiritual life. And for us to be very sensitive to this, or in social relationships, almost everybody, someplace in a spiritual journey, experiences what's called a broken heart, relationships that break down, sons or daughters who go astray or reject, or parents who reject, relationships that just disintegrate. Because there's great pain. Friendships that are betrayed. That impacts how we feel, how we think, how we make decisions. It impacts the physical body. There's a lot of things happen in the physical body as a result of relationships. And these all impact the functions of the heart. So we think about, you know, bad things happen. How do I think about those adverse circumstances? On one hand, if I conform to the world, I just want them to go away. But if I'm hearing God, realizing that God has a purpose, James writes, James 1, verse 2 and following, "My brethren, count it all joy when you encounter various trials." Really? Why? That seems almost, not being conformed to this world, is it? But know this, that God uses whatever trials that come along to build your endurance, to make you a mature and better person. It's pain with a purpose. You know, there are some kinds of pains that seem like purposeless. I've been told that kidney stones and childbirth have a lot in common for pain. I don't know about the one, but I know about the other one, okay? And I think, wow, and I think the comparison is, you know, when you have childbirth pains at the end, you got something to show for it, right? Meh. But a kidney stone, now God does use the process, I know he does. But as far as what the visible product, much different. But to recognize that every single thing that happens to us, that God can use that to make us to be a better person, a more whole person, a more complete person. But that requires some thinking about that, right? It's listening to God. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. And as we think about his commandments, think about his directive, think about his purposes, it has that forming effect in our lives, tying together. So we may think, I'm such an emotionally driven person. I just make decisions based on how I feel. Well, if that's where we are, then we need to think, I need to cultivate thinking. And I may need to have some people help me. Some of those social relationships. I may need to plug into some people who help me to think better, to ponder. Quite a bit of my time these days is with people. Spiritual direction. Just simply dealing with helping them to hear what God is saying. Helping them to think as they're making decisions. Not making decisions for them, but helping them to hear God. Thinking. How we make decisions. All these things feed together, okay? Now, ideally, if we could sit one-to-one, we can process these things and work them through. But right now, just for you to stop and before the Lord say, Lord, what functions of my heart seem most healthy to you? X-ray my heart. What functions need some attention? And the truth be known, we all have some areas of each of these dynamics that need some attention. Maybe I find that, Lord, I just kind of have pulled back. I've isolated from people. I've just become distant and remote. And recognize to think well, to decide well, to have proper emotion, I need to plug into some people. I need to grow closer. Maybe someone's saying, I've just neglected my whole physical body. It's impacting how I think and how I feel. Maybe some say, I've just never really learned to make good decisions based on God's principles and God's word and begin to nurture that. These are all different elements of being formed to become more like Christ. Great commandment, love God. I want to love God. I want to do life the way he wants me to do. I want to love God. I want to think the way he thinks, decide like he would decide, have the emotions he would have. I want to be relational as God is relational, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, forever relating. Use everything God's given to become a whole person in every way. Let's invest a few little time here for you to be before the Lord. Can have another communion time, if you will. Ask these questions in the back of the sheet there and give the Spirit a chance to speak to your hearts about affirming you where you're healthy, showing you where you need attention, and perhaps giving you some areas to make adjustments that would improve your spiritual heart. Let's come before our Lord in quietness. Our Father, we pray for the grace to think on you and about you. We pray for the grace to make decisions that are pleasing in your sight. We pray for the grace to have the feelings and emotions that you'd want us to have and to experience. Enables God to welcome sorrow and grief where that's appropriate and to rejoice where that's appropriate. We pray for the grace to relate well to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for the grace to care well for our bodies. We want to thank you for the good work you've begun in us and to lay hold of that promise you'll keep on working until you return. Have your way with us, Lord. Just have your way. Do in us and through us and for us what is pleasing in your sight. Find us, we pray to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen.